Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And I'm Philip Sage.
Hey, Philip. Hey, we were just chatting for a moment or two, and it reminded me of a story that I feel that we could talk probably way too long about, but and it's a symptom of what this topic is you mentioned something that made me remember a coworker of mine. It was Bob, and he was retiring from HP. He was 86 years old, or give or take a year or two, and this was his third retirement. He worked in two other careers for 20 years each and retired with benefits from both of them, and was retiring with HP. And somebody at his going away party was, "So what are you going to do now?" And he commented, "Well, I'm going to go do a startup." And then why his going away party had so many people at it was you always wanted him in your meeting. And I remember we were, a couple of us were struggling with some idea about some circuit board or some, I don't remember the details of the problem. And he sat there and he goes, "You know, well, back in 1957, we had that problem and this is what we did about it. And that might be an idea." And he was dead on. He was exactly what we needed to know to make it work. I don't know. Have you run into that in, you know, working with somebody that just had knowledge that predated your ability to have ever learned it?
I've probably experienced it from the other side. I'm probably not as old as 82, but, you know, I've been in the industry for 40 some years and, you know, I can reach back into the late 70s or okay. Early 80s. I can't quite go back to the 50s because I didn't exist back then. I'm not even sure my parents had met by then, but, you know, I guess the topic of how to collaborate with a cross-functional team that is built through the generations is probably the topic that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And how do you leverage the experience of somebody who's been around for years, as well as how do you foster and mentor the growth of somebody who's coming in with maybe 3 or 4 years experience and just starting their career and maybe on their fourth or fifth problem to tackle. Right. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, no, it sounds perfect because the worst scenario is that, well, you know, the younger generation looks at the older person and says, "Well, we don't do it that way anymore. You got to catch up to modern times." And then they go off and make mistakes that could have been avoided. You know, just the arrogance of youth kind of thing. And, you know, "Well, I was just in college, so we know best," and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I've run into that a few times. And then the vice versa is the seasoned person saying, "Well, this is the way you do it." And the arrogance of experience. I think both traits are to be avoided. And I think that's another way of saying what we were just talking about.
Yeah, some of us old guys and gals can be curmudgeons, I imagine. And pretty dead set in our ways. But at the other end of the spectrum, as you've just mentioned, when we don't have any experience and we're full of gumption and the belief that our way is the best way, we often have a different set of problems. The real challenge is to bring those two talents together and do it in a way that's cohesive and builds a team.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And that's why I mentioned and remembered Bob, because we always wanted him in the meeting because he was the walking library. I mean, he had the encyclopedia type memory of all this stuff. And, you know, he could contribute to an FMEA or to a brainstorming in ways that the rest of us just couldn't. And we certainly appreciated it. I think it was the culture of the group I was in. Which was a really fun place to work. It was, you know, you get somebody would run into a snag or an issue and they'd call in just who's available at 11. Let's go help me solve this problem. It was the kind of place we were in. So I think it's not just across generations. It also has to be a place where if it's your problem, you can ask for help. You know, if you've got an issue or a problem, something you're struggling with, somebody else has probably got an idea on that. And then if you're really lucky, you have a guy like Bob that walks in and goes, oh, well, I've seen that four times, and this is what we did.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely vital that we realize that everybody in the world doesn't see the reality the same way. And what we, you know, in addition to generational gaps or challenges, when we build a team, we have to be receptive to the ideas of everybody, because quite frankly, they see things differently than we do, and we may actually be blindsided or blinded by something in our experience or the ways that we have solved things in the past that we can't yet see their possibility and the way that they're looking at the problem. So it's important to have a kind of a neutral a platform where everybody's perspective gets a chance to get onto the floor and discussed, and then you evaluate them based on their merits. And yes, it's absolutely vital in today's world to have somebody of experience. It's very rare. It used to be when I started out, the experience people were had been with the company for 40 years,
right,
and their innate corporate knowledge was just a treasure trove of information that you could go and rely on because they had literally been there and done that. But in today's world, the average tenancy on a job in the United States is 3.7 years. I think it's 3.8 years here in Australia. And as a result, people, in order to move up the career ladder, have realized that they need to move between different organizations. So what we end up with is different than it used to be, but it's also very powerful if we realize it and take advantage of it, is that we have a very cross-functional team who has a very wide experience base in other things, perhaps. But some of those other things may be very, very useful or innovative in the way that we look at problems.
Oh, yeah. No, one of the places I worked, when I first got out of the Army, I worked at a company called Raychem, which no longer exists, unfortunately. It got bought and disassembled, essentially. At one point, they offered a Not Invented Here award. And it came with a cash prize. And the person that facilitated the transfer from one division to another, and the other person that received it and made it, implemented it, both got the award. And it was really at that issue, is that we need to break down that, well, just because we're doing polymer extrusion doesn't mean that the injection molding people don't have some brilliant solutions for some of our problems. And vice versa, is if you're in a medical division, a medical device company, you know, aerospace deals with some pretty similar things and they've solved it, and vice versa. You guys have solved stuff that they could probably benefit from. When you go to a conference, don't go to just the papers that are in your field. Go to the ones that are in different industries, I should say. And because you can learn a lot that way. And then what I really like, and it's one of the things I find is a power of a consultant, because, I mean, for most of my, I think my average time with any one client is probably close to 4 weeks. I've had a few pretty long ones and mostly very short ones. And when I've gone from solar to, lithium batteries to oil exploration steerable drill heads, which is an amazing product, hot tubs, medical devices, electronics, making inductors, all kinds of stuff. And I can join a meeting and go, there might be a way to solve this. And I have found that I have to be very hesitant to, one, I don't want to break any non-disclosure agreements, but how about we look at it this way? Or how about this approach? Or how about this technique of measurement or something like that? as opposed to saying, thou shalt do it this way. I found that that doesn't work very well.
Yeah, people get offended if you come in and say, you know, based on my experience, this is the way we should do it.
There's one exception though, Phillips. If they're using MTBF, then I say you shouldn't be doing that. Just stop doing that. Just do something useful.
Please stop. No MBTF.
That's right.
MTBF. Rather.
I do have a threshold, you know, to where I get on my soapbox.
It's an interesting challenge. I'm a consultant also, and you're right on. You're working with teams of people for 3 or 4 weeks trying to achieve an outcome that moves the needle forward. And you do carry some weight because you come in with different ideas, but at the same time, it's the team that you're working with that has to wear those new ideas or new processes or procedures that you implement. And they have to own it. And so you find that if you come in an autocratic fashion and say, this is the way we're going to do it to everybody, you'll tune off a bunch of people in a heartbeat. And so I find it's much more beneficial to work within the team and make subtle suggestions and help steer the conversation as much as I dare towards what I know can work, but always leaving open the possibility that somebody in the room actually knows more than I do, and that we want to take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I try to create a short-term community or a short-term teamwork where everybody's ideas are important and we get them all on the table and discuss them and ultimately look for the solution that everybody is generally willing to support and endorse, rather than trying to force feed something down the throat of an organization that they're not used to or is so foreign in concept that they have very little comprehension of what it does, how to do it, or what value it brings.
Yeah. No, I agree. The recommendations and it's got to be within the realm of feasible for the group you're working with. You know, if somebody has never picked up a calculator before and you say, oh, you should be doing this multidimensional blah, 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 vector graphics, you know, or Venter 10-dimensional algebra or something like that, calculus, they're just going to show you the door. So it's got to be, you know, one step at a time and build the team. And I agree with all that. Now back to, you know, let's say you got hopefully not an old, you know, a curmudgeon type that, but I think part of that is just the acceptance of that somebody has got knowledge that is deeper than what you have. And yes, I agree with you a lot, Philip, is that both parties can learn. One of the ways I found that Bob really enjoyed being part of the team and why we were always dragging him into meetings with us, because we learned a lot when we did, is that I was at lunch with a couple of our colleagues, and Bob was there. I think there were four of us at this table. And one of the guys said, hey, Bob, you know, what was your favorite engineering problem and how did you guys solve it? And he went back decades and decades and, you know, described this problem and the issues they ran into and the complexity of it and this. One of the younger guys said, so why didn't you just use this, you know, scanning electron microscope to do it? And he goes, we didn't have, those things weren't around then. Well, why didn't you do a simulation in the CAD program? We didn't even have a computer. He finally resorted to, now look, guys, when I was working, we could solve problems because NASA already put a man on the moon. So we knew we could solve our little problem. Yeah. And we all went, oh, okay. But he enjoyed telling those stories, and all he needed was an invitation. And like at lunch, it was open game to ask him stuff like that. And he enjoyed it. And he was pretty respectful in the meetings to not launch into a story for 25 minutes when we had a half hour meeting, but did more what you were talking about. He was ahead of you a little bit on that, Philip. He was like, you know, here's a way to look at that. Or, you know, I saw something on that once before, and here's the way we approached it. Do you think that would work now? Or what tools do you have today that would make that easier or whatever? And it would generally lead to a very productive conversation and include everybody. But I think parts of it is, if you do run into roadblocks, is, well, go out of your way to make the person, the vintage knowledge carrier, feel welcome to pull on that knowledge and bring it in.
Yeah, it's a delicate, balance. You mentioned having somebody come in and orate, oxygenate for 25 of the 30 minutes of a meeting doesn't help. So we do need to, control that as best as we can. But at the same time, we definitely want to value the input and the information. But keep in mind the reason when we get engaged to come into a company is because they haven't solved a problem with the people that they have. Now, there's two reasons, two general classifications for why they haven't. One, they haven't got their people thinking in the right way, and that solution is somewhere inside that team. All you have to do is unlock it and release it. And that's where your role is for this particular engagement. The other is you're bringing that wealth of experience from all the other industries and in some cases from competitors within the same industry of how they're approaching similar problems. Mm-hmm. And you're slowly or subtly sharing thoughts of different ways to look at the problem that they may not have yet considered or they may have ruled out prematurely. So it's a delicate balance, and at all the same time, you're trying to build a temporary team, and that team has to be extremely functional very quickly. So it makes for a lot of fun, and if you get 4 weeks, that's great. Usually it's two, you have to move very, very quickly and, make some decisions, but having the old person in the room is a dream come true in my mind. But at the same time, having the young person in the room is equally important because their view of the world is from a different colored glasses than ours. And it's really, as we look across all those different spectrum and the different ways of looking at the problem, if we can facilitate and get all of those ideas on the table somewhere, there's bound to be a good one.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And there's, one of the things, when you mentioned that, when you first started working in a company, there were people that had already been there for 40 years in the same company, and that generally doesn't happen much anymore. These folks aren't staying within a particular company for all that long. I'm sure there's some exceptions, but it's more the exception than the rule. A big part of that, what disappears is the mentoring. I'm not going to invest in somebody if they're going to change jobs in 6 months, and I'm planning on changing jobs in about that much time too. So I think part of working with other people gets diluted because it does take an investment to get to know them, to understand, where you could draw them into particular issues or problems or what kinds of things they enjoy working on. And this applies to anybody on that team. Some people you just, one of my neighbors is, if you mention hockey, he'll talk to you for, I liked your word, Philip, oxygenate. He would talk about hockey until the sunset, 2 days from now. He was like, okay, now I know, unless I really want to spend a lot of time listening about what's happening in the world of professional hockey, I'm just not going to bring that topic up. So there's some of that, but I agree. It's part of it is not just, somebody's got a lot of experience, and there's pitfalls if it's not done well, if they talk too much or they dictate or whatever. So, but contrary wise, and I think it's a good point, is the new college grad is bringing a fresh pair of eyes in and is drawing on the experience of their, if they were paying attention in class, on the experience of their professors and mentors and so on when they were going through school. So they bring in a bunch of experience already, and a new way of look, a different way or a new way or a fresh way to look at stuff. So I think that's a good point. It's not just how do we work with the old guy? It's how do we work with everybody? So I'm going to leave the title, though, as Vintage Experience.
All right. Well, it's been a great discussion. The topic of mentoring could probably take us another 20 or 30 minutes to enjoy.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll leave that for another session.
Yeah, we'll hand that, wait for that one. So if you've, you know, you're listening to this and you've got a somebody like Bob with your team or you've run into this issue one way or the other, you know, what works for you? What makes it actually work well that you can draw in the range of different experiences that your team has and get some really good use out of all that is, we often lament that we're, you know, when somebody retires or moves to another company, all their experience leaves with them. And vice versa is when somebody comes into your group or joins your team, there's a lot of experience walking in if you tap into it. So let us know. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. There's a couple of ways to get in touch with us. Philip and I and the other hosts of the show are available through LinkedIn and our About pages. So we do sincerely hope to hear from you and look forward to hearing from you and with comments or questions. It makes, one, it helps us understand that somebody's actually listening to it, not just downloading it, but it also gives us topics for future events. So with that, Philip, I think we'll take a look at what our schedule and how many more meetings we got to participate in for the rest of the day.
All right. Very good. Enjoyed it. Thanks again, Fred.
Yeah. Cheers. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.